Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner. And I'd like to personally thank you for listening to our podcast. And thank you for taking this journey with the Life of a Gentleman. We are all striving to make continual progress, and so we're hopeful that this podcast is helping and making an impact in your daily life as well. Please, if you would, could you subscribe to the podcast or leave us a rating and a review, because it means so much to us, helping us bring this information to other listeners as well. Also, we'd like to invite you to take advantage of our free gift. That is a copy of the ebook or audiobook, The Life of a Gentleman, over 144 pages of information on subjects that we discuss on the show. You can get your copy by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, visiting the blog, and downloading your free copy. Today, we have an exciting subject. Before we get into that, let me welcome to the show my co-host, Charles. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How are you feeling today, Richard?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy to be in the studio and talking about a subject that is very important because it has an impact on other people's lives. And that subject is leaving a tip.
Ooh, to tip or not to tip? That is the question. And this is something that's very important to me because I have had a job in a customer service industry where I worked on tips. And I tell you, the tips are not only greatly appreciated, but it helped with my life.
Yeah, well, people who are working in a service industry, their wages is generally a little bit lower, so they're depending on those tips to survive or to earn an income. And when you think about the fact that your tip can influence their bottom line, you have a responsibility, or rather an obligation, to help provide them the monetary income that they deserve, especially if they've done a great job.
Yes, and that's the key, especially if they have done a great job. So with this podcast, remember, we're taking a journey. Sometimes we may work in a service industry. So we're going to talk about not only how you should tip or how much or what's appropriate, but also too, if you work in that industry, how you should treat the customers also.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. It goes hand in hand. One hand scratches the other, so to speak.
Yes.
Let's just kind of get into this subject here. Now, let me just paint a picture. Imagine you've gone to a restaurant or you've gone somewhere and someone has performed an amazing service for you. They've gone above and beyond the call of duty and you walk out and don't leave them a tip. What does that make you?
You would definitely be remembered the next time that you come to that establishment. Especially if someone is working hard, they may have many tables or delivering pizzas, whatever the case is. If you leave without giving a tip, they will remember that. And maybe your service next time won't be so incredible.
Yeah, that's something to think about. But you also have to think about your obligation as a gentleman. What we want to be doing is showing respect to others as well as showing respect for ourselves. And by not leaving a tip, it's kind of rude, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of rude and it's kind of make you look like a cheap person. Remember, we're living the life of a gentleman. We're elevating not only our outside style, but we're also elevating ourselves inside. So by leaving a tip, this can make us be a gentleman.
No, I want to tell you a situation that happened. I mentor some youth, and one of them came up to me. We were talking about tipping, and they said that they don't make that much money themselves because they're a young person, and they just simply don't have the money to be, in quote-unquote, tipping everybody that they come across. So they feel like it's not their fault that that person has a job that requires tips. I told them that was an immature statement. What would you say?
Yes, what you said, it was someone young. So it was someone who doesn't appreciate hard work, or they may not have worked hard themselves. But if we think about gratuity that's there, the root word to that is gratitude. So that's all we're doing. We're just showing our gratitude for people who have to render a service to us.
That makes perfect sense, what you're saying. And here's another thing to think about. You kind of touched on it, and I'll just elaborate just a bit. If you tip well, you're going to get better service. Let's say you stay at the same hotel quite often or visit a restaurant on a regular basis, or perhaps you attend a barbershop and you get your hair cut the same time, or like you said, even ordering pizza from your favorite pizza place. Wouldn't you like to be known as a good tipper, and what would be the benefit?
Yes. Unfortunately, we have something that's called a memory. Yeah. That's inside our brain. Like, we remember a lot of the good things. We also too remember a lot of the bad experience also too. Just like a bad experience would turn us off to a certain restaurant or to a certain person, the great experiences also turn us on. So to be known as a good tipper, you can get better service, you can get faster delivery at times because they may deliver your pizza first. Or for a barber, you may get that extra special treatment where he pull you back, he shaves you up instead of with a straight razor, and you can get better service all around.
Yeah, you're right. I'll give a brief example about this, and that's because I go to the same tailor. Been going to this gentleman for years, and I've been known to leave him a tip and say thank you to him. I don't have to do that, you know, but it's something I feel that I owe him for the service that he's doing for me. And here's the thing. So there's times when I need a small repair, something like a zipper being fixed or a button being sewn back on. And you know what? He doesn't charge me for those. They're free. You know why?
Why?
Because I tip him. So in return, when I need a small favor, as it were, he's more than happy to just do something small for me, because I think there's a mutual respect between the both of us.
Yes, and tipping, it should be for anyone who has done a service for us. So when we think about tipping, who do you think deserves a tip? Just a few examples.
Well, there are many. We talked about restaurant workers, and of course that comes to mind because a lot of times they put gratuity right in your check if you have a large party. And also we mentioned delivery people that are delivering food. But here's a couple. Tow truck. Maybe if you need a tow truck, you might want to tip them. Or somebody who works at a car wash. You could tip them as well.
Oh, yes. Those are great ones. I didn't really think about that. Also, too, what comes to mind is like your taxi driver. Maybe they are one that may pick you up again. And they may show you some places or get you to some things that you may not even thought about just by tipping them and showing them the proper respect that they have. Like we said before, your barber, your tailor. What about a parking valet? How important is it to tip them?
That makes sense as well. I mean, you're tossing them the keys
to your baby,
to your vehicle. It could be $40, $50, $60, $80,000 vehicle. And you want to make sure that they take care of it. So, do you think they're going to take better care of the vehicle when someone tips? Or if you don't tip? And especially if you have a nice car, what kind of cheapskate are you if you don't tip? That's what's going through their head.
If you don't tip, they're going to take that tip from somewhere. Maybe rummaging through the car or doing something, leaving your car in between another ones where you may be getting dents in it. But this is important to people. So make sure that we tip. And also, too, when you stay at a hotel, your housekeeper.
Yeah, when you're traveling.
Yes.
It's important. People don't think about that.
People just think 15% is good. 15 to 20% is good when you just going out to eat. But these same percentages, we can also apply to everywhere else, including our housekeeper.
Makes perfect sense. I mean, we're talking about living the life of a gentleman. Think about that for a second. The life of a gentleman. Not just looking like a gentleman. So if you're actually living like a gentleman, what does that mean by your actions?
is this: it's every aspect of your life. It's not just one thing. We say this many times. You may look well, you may dress nice, you may have the finest watch, but if you do not tip, if you're cold, if you're rude, man, you will not get the respect that you deserve.
No, you won't. And you know, what goes around comes around. And so that's always something to think about as well. And also your reputation. How do you want to be remembered by those that are serving you or performing a service for you? And also by your family and friends. Do you want them to look at you and think that you don't show gratitude towards others, that you don't respect others, that you're cheap? I don't think any of us want that.
No, I have been in a group where one person say, oh, I'll handle the bill. And you say, oh, well, that was very nice of you. That was a gentleman and it was great service. And then they get up and they leave. And you say, hey, how much did you leave as a tip? And what they say, oh, I don't tip. I didn't leave anything.
No, that's when you correct them. You don't have to verbally correct them. What I mean by that is you go ahead and leave that tip.
Yeah.
And do the right thing. And I think the person that performed the service is really going to appreciate that.
Yes, because that's what we're talking about, the life of a gentleman. So do not be afraid to step up, so to speak, and leave that tip for that person, because their wage and their livelihood depends on that.
Yeah, Charles, I really appreciated this discussion. I mean, we appreciate all the discussions that we have, but this one really hit home, especially when you brought up the fact that you've been in the service industry. You know the importance of it. And really, as a gentleman, all of us should view this as highly important.
Yes, and a tip also too, just think, if you're that waiter, if you're that person that's in that industry, here's a tip: dress for the part. Every place has a uniform. Be mindful of how you represent yourself, because you are your own business at this time. Be mindful of if you have to go to someone, to smile, to be nice, to be courteous. The people at that table don't know that you've had a bad day. They just want a great experience. That's why that they're there. So by your appearance and by how you project yourself, you can get a better tip from someone on the other end, even if they wasn't planning on tipping to begin with.
Yeah, just like we said at the outset, it's a two-way street when it comes to tipping, but definitely we want to do our part. This was a great discussion, and at this time, I think it'd be great if we go ahead and roll into the interview portion of the podcast. How do you feel about that?
Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome everyone to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today we have a special guest on the line. We will be speaking with John Carroll from Trace Coaching Services. John is a professional coach and speaker with 40 plus years in leadership expertise. He is also the author of Globalization, America's Leadership Challenge Ahead. And I have the special honor of saying that John was gracious enough to write the foreword to the book, The Life of a Gentleman, in which this podcast is titled after. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Mr. John Carroll.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. It's a pleasure connecting with you once again. It's been far too long, and I'm really glad we had the opportunity to catch up on the show today.
Yes, I'm so glad that you agreed to come on, because the work that you're doing is so important, and I really appreciate what you've done for me in helping me with my writing career, but also just, without you even knowing it, kind of being a role model for me as well, conducting yourself in a professional manner. So thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you very much. And, you made me feel old when you talked about that. Every time I hear that 40 plus years professional experience, I start looking at those gray hairs or no hairs on the top of my head.
Yeah, but all that means is that you have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge to share. So we can't wait to get into this interview, John. Before we get started into the meat of the interview, could you first tell us about Trace Coaching, when it was started, and a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. Let me touch on my background a little bit. I spent a little over 30 years in the my professional career in the corporate environment, and I had executive positions with a variety of industries in both Global 1000, mid-size, and startup companies. And that's where I really started to focus on the transferable skills, Richard, that led me to launching Trace Coaching Services in 2009, because a lot of the work that I was doing in the corporate arena centered around startups and turnarounds on launching new businesses, sourcing capital through IPO initiatives, and doing a lot of go-to-market strategy and planning work. And that always, as you can imagine, that always involves people, processes, cultures, and a lot of what I would characterize as organizational challenges, particularly when you're dealing with startups and turnarounds, because so many times you're bringing together people with diverse backgrounds from diverse cultures, oftentimes both in-country and out-of-country environments. So you've got challenges with language, culture, provisions in terms of corporate governance, in terms of how you do business, et cetera, et cetera. And so it creates a melting pot that you have to figure out how do you get the most out of those assets, both in terms of the people, the systems, the products, and the organizations that you're being tasked to manage and direct. And so I found a lot of that, like I mentioned, very transferable to coaching when I launched my own coaching practice in the fourth quarter of 2009. And prior to that, I also had been doing work for the year previously with an international coaching firm, helping them re-architect their global strategy and go-to-market plans here in North America. So that's a little bit Trace Coaching Services. Today I work with literally hundreds of clients through my one-on-one private coaching, my group coaching program, my strategic mastermind program, and through my online course, Discover Your Formula for Success, as well as do a lot of speaking with seminars, workshops, and networking groups.
Wow, definitely you have a wealth of knowledge that you can share. And it's amazing that you've been able to work with such a vast group, from startups to large companies. Oh, it's just amazing, John.
It is, but when you boil it down, Richard, a lot of times the challenges are the same. You know, if you look at what most organizations struggle with today, it really you can break it down into five areas. It's time to market, it's resources, it's expertise, it's sourcing capital, and it's planning. And that's, you know, one or several of those areas are where organizations seem to have the most difficulty in getting to that next level in terms of those growth initiatives, because they either are forced into a situation where they either don't have enough time, they don't have the resources, they lack the expertise, their capital formation is challenged, or the planning isn't rock solid to where they can achieve the objectives. And that's where coaching comes in a lot of times, because they either stumble or get stuck, and they're looking for help outside the norm or outside the four walls of their organization.
That's a good segue, because I was going to present the question to you. What is coaching exactly? You know, a lot of people hear that term, but they haven't engaged in hiring a coach for themselves. So what is coaching, and why is it so beneficial for people?
Let me give you my flavor of coaching, because there are so many people, as you find it, particularly if you do a lot of networking, there's a lot of people that are coaches. They're life coaches, they're NLP practitioners that designate themselves as coaches, they're personal trainers that are fitness coaches, etc. But mine is more of a coach consulting model. Because I've had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to work with an international coaching firm, a lot of the coaching firms I've seen do more what I characterize as coaching from the three-ring binder, where they have a specific template that they walk the client through and assign homework, and then come back, review the homework, have discussion around that, and then move to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find that very effective in the clients that I work with. In fact, I start with a blank slate, and we really try to get into the organization. I do as more of a consultant, where I'm literally in the boat working with them, to where we develop a detailed statement of work together. We decide together what the priorities are, what the opportunities are, what the challenges and roadblocks are, and specifically where we want to invest our time, resource, and capital. And then we divide up the work through that process. So I'm literally in the client's business working with them as a coach slash consultant. That accomplishes several things. Number one, it's not just homework directed. It's doing the work necessary to move the business forward based on the objectives we set. Where I'm in there working with them, that also shortens the time to market. And they're benefiting by having another set of eyes and hands working with them where they may have limited resources, depending on the project they're working on today, to accomplish the goal. What helps facilitate the work and get to the results much quicker. And that's why I use the tagline, when results matter most.
I get it now. And it definitely seems like you're very hands-on, which is another benefit because, like you mentioned, you're right there working with them. So what kind of businesses or what type of people would need a coach? Would that be anyone, per se?
Well, absolutely, Richard. To generalize, we all need coaches. Even coaches need coaches. And I have a coach that I work with in areas of my business. But it really boils down to, specifically, I find the greatest need in the startup or early stage planning, when you're first starting to do the work necessary to launch a business, where you've gone to your accountant, maybe you've talked to an attorney to determine, am I going to be a sole proprietor or an LLC or what? That's a good time to bring in a coach that has startup expertise like I do, because what I tell clients that are in the startup phase, when I look at their financial projections and their plans, cut your revenue projections in half and double the amount of time it's going to take to get to break even.
Yeah.
And then see if, and you know this because you've launched businesses, and then see if you have enough cash on hand in the bank to weather the storm, which is going to be about 2 to 2.5 years. If you don't, then you're not ready. But bringing on a coach that is a startup expert, that's not only has the expertise, but has been there, done that, and lived through launching their own businesses to help guide you, is golden. The next area is when you get beyond that first 1 to 3 years and you're now looking to take that next big leap in the growth phase. That's another time to bring a coach into the equation, because there you're looking at, how do we profitably take that next step? Does that involve adding people, products? Do we expand our market base? What are the implications of that in terms of brick and mortar, you know, finding new locations, hiring local people to support us, new partners, et cetera, et cetera? Or are we going to globalize and do that in a big way, either via the web or by having in-country locations and local people to support our business? There you want to bring in somebody that's a true growth expert that has been through that knows how to drive a global business, that knows how to recruit the right kind of partners, and really can help you hit those checkpoints in terms of profitability. And then another area, of course, is when you get to the latter stages of the business, and that's exit planning. What's the end game? Because if you don't have, as part of your overall strategic plan, a roadmap to exit that directly shows you, what do we do when we're ready to shut down and retire? Do we gift the business? Do we just shut it down? Do we sell it? How do we sell it? What's the market value? How do you work through all that? That's where you need to bring in somebody that's an exit planning guru.
Yeah, those are a lot of good questions that sometimes business owners overlook. And speaking of business owners, we had a discussion, John, and we were talking about how business is changing and how the way that people market their business and network or gain new customers, that's changing. And I believe you had a term that you coined, the circle of business life. Could you explain that to us?
Sure, the circle of biz life. It's something I trademarked a year and a half ago, Richard. And it's when I look at how businesses are growing today, how the landscape of business is changing, and of course to my first book, Globalization, the Leadership Challenge Ahead, what kind of domain expertise do you need as a business owner to compete in a highly competitive global marketplace? I saw a different business model evolve away from traditionally how we think of business models, from startup to exit planning. And we've all heard, particularly entrepreneurs have heard time and time again, that most millionaires in this country have 7 or 8 different income streams. And I think a lot of times in the past, we have misunderstood what that means, and we've developed a passion for going out and acquiring more products and services to throw in the basket. And in my opinion, in the 21st century model, that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. Because it, number one, it dilutes your brand. Number two, it stretches your resources. Mm-hmm. And number three, it takes away the focus for what you're truly good at. And in the circle of biz life, you know, my premise is your brand is your business and your business is you. Now, how do you more effectively market your greatest asset, that being yourself? So it really looks at synergistically, how do you combine your personal brand with your business brand in meaningful ways to market both most effectively? And it really starts with how we traditionally start a business. We all start with a single product or service, or maybe a few products, selling directly. Well, that's the most expensive way to market a business, particularly a startup, on the planet. Why? Because it doesn't scale. And the only way to grow it is to add people and add products to the mix.
Yeah.
Well, there are other ways to do that. Now, you can move that from direct one-to-one selling to the web and e-commerce, and now you've expanded. And not only are you able to combine that with more products and services, but you're also able to reach a much broader market, because the minute your website goes live and you have an e-commerce site, you're global, whether you acknowledge that today or not. And the next phase of that is partners. And there are a plethora of different options there when you look at partnerships. There are other equipment manufacturers, there are synergy partners, there are referral partners, strategic partners, investment partners, et cetera, et cetera, to help you not only with time to market issues, but also to expand and grow and increase your customer base without adding additional staff and overheads to the business model. And then you move to social media marketing. And from my standpoint, all of these that I'm walking through are marketing opportunities, but they're also channels. So you're creating, in effect, as you evolve the business, more channels around you and around your personal brand and your business brand. Social media marketing opens up the whole world. You know, the whole 6 degrees of separation through social media marketing is real.
Yes.
And it can be meaningful if it's not just, hi, I'm going here for lunch. You know, in today's business world, I don't care where you're going for lunch, you know, unless you're meeting me for lunch to do business, unless we're there to do transactions. But you can work through this model, and then when you get to a point, and it's about that 2 to 2.5 year point, when you're at break even and profitable, then you move to the opportunity to either franchise the business or become a subject matter expert and a consultant to help other people walk through what you've gone through in your 2 to 2.5 year journey. And from there, you take it to, now that you're a subject matter expert, it's time to write that book, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Write the Life of a Gentleman to draw more people to your personal brand. And also, it gives you another revenue source, because you're not, with the book, you're not just, as you know, you're not creating one revenue source, you're creating multiples. Because you've got a book, you can create an ebook, you can create an audiobook, et cetera, around that. The next opportunity is speaking for money, because again, you've attracted a large enough base to where people are going to want to hear what you've got to say, and you've got all these products and services, books, et cetera, to sell in the back of the room, so you're really creating multiple revenue streams around your speaking opportunities. And then the next thing is, with the education thing, is to teach, either through an online course like I have. With my course, I have 278 students now from 7 or 8 countries. that are signed up on my course. But you can do that because you've created all this content with the experience you've had in building your business and expanding that profile as you've gone forward. And or adjunct professor or whatever, there are lots of great speaking opportunities. And then, of course, there's that opportunity to sell all that intellectual capital at some point in that business when you're ready to move on to something else. But the point is, once you perfect that, I've just walked you through a minimum of 8 revenue streams around you and what you do well. Multiply that by 195. That's the number of countries that you can expand that profile to.
Wow.
And that's the that in a very short narrative is the circle of biz life.
No, and the way you explained that, you broke it down, as you said, step by step. It really sounded logical. It sounded easy. Not easy that it's not going to take a lot of hard work. Of course it will take hard work, but the way that you presented it, it's a sound step-by-step plan. And so thanks for laying that out for us.
You bet. And it's not smoke and mirrors. It's what I built my coaching practice around, my business model around, and me. And it took 2.5 years to create all of that I walked you through.
Okay, so it's an investment in time, but it's well worth it, as you pointed out. Now, because you have so much knowledge, we'll ask one last question. And
sure.
This would be, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting a business or a budding entrepreneur? What advice would you give them?
First of all, be passionate about what you're doing. And to the degree you can, marry your passion, things you're passionate about, to your business. I've found that most of the successful entrepreneurs that I know, Richard, are those that have put their time, energy, and capital around things that they're passionate about. And it seems to be God's plan. It just seems to work better because it's something that you're passionate about, you're committed to doing, and you'll be able to weather the storm as a result of that. Where a lot of people are looking for instant gratification, they want to get in and get out quickly. And, you know, it's kind of like 90 days in a cloud of dust is what the way I describe it.
Right.
Well, you know that building a profitable, scalable, sustainable business is not a 90-day venture. It's painful. There are a lot of bumps in the road. And so the other advice I would give people in terms of being passionate about what you do and committing to it is go into it with your eyes wide open. Like I mentioned, do your due diligence. Make sure that you have 2 to 2.5 years of cash on hand so you end up not bankrupting yourself, having to mortgage your house and all your assets just to weather the storm. That's just a bad business investment. So be smart about it, both from a financial standpoint and setting realistic goals for yourself. The worst thing you can do, particularly in your first, and I learned this is the third business that I've launched with my own personal capital since I stepped away from the corporate world 12, 14 years ago. And I learned a lot from the first one. It was 9 months in a cloud of dust, not 90 days, but 9 months, because my wife became ill and it was a business she was going to run, and I lost my promotional partner. Well, you have to account for the good things as well as the bad things and play the what ifs in terms of that due diligence that I mentioned. What if this happens to you? How will you recover? Do you have a solid plan B that you can fall back on if you need to? My second business took me 2.5 years to get to profitability, and the third one, it took 12 months. So the other advice I want to give people is, if you stay the course, it gets better. There's always going to be challenges and bumps in the road, but the key learnings that you take away from that startup, you can actually build upon over time, whether it's that same business or other businesses that you launch in the future.
Yeah, it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And thanks for making that known to us, not making it sound like it's just a piece of cake, because as business owners, we know that it's not. It's a challenge, but it's worth
Absolutely.
It. It's worth it in the end. So, John, before we go and say goodbye, could you let everyone know how people could get in touch with you if they'd like more information, or if they'd be interested in having you perhaps coach them or their organization?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. A lot of my contact information is on my website, and that is TraceCoach, T-R-E-S, richardcoach.com. And you can reach me on virtually all of the social media platforms, Richard. My email is john@tracecoach.com. Twitter is also my Twitter handle. I have two. It's Trace Coach or Trace Global. Facebook is Trace Coach, and LinkedIn is Trace Coach as well.
Okay, easy enough. Trace Coach is an easy way to get in touch with John if you're interested in taking your business or your personal brand to the next level. And John, once again, I want to say thank you to you for coming on The Life of a Gentleman. And also, thank you once again for writing the foreword to the book, The Life of a Gentleman, as well. I feel like we'll always be connected through that. And hopefully in the future, I could get with you on some personal coaching myself.
Absolutely. I'd welcome that. And thank you very much for allowing me to be on your podcast today, as well as giving me the opportunity to be a part of your book. I've enjoyed it.
Same here, John. Until next time, take care.
You bet.
Gentlemen, I think we all can agree, we love dressing sharp, but no one loves shopping. Now, you don't have to. Introducing the Harrison Blake Apparel Monthly Club. For $25 per month, we'll send one necktie plus four matching accessories right to your doorstep. Shipping is free, and you can cancel anytime. Visit harrisonblakeapparel.com and use code BTR for $5 off your first month's box. That's harrisonblakeapparel.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman's podcast. This week, we're going to switch things up just a tiny bit with the segment that we call The Gentleman's Look. We are going to take the time to interview somebody that is near and dear to my heart, someone special that helps out with Harrison Blake Apparel. I have the distinct privilege and the honor of welcoming to the show my daughter, Sydney. Sydney, how's it going today?
Good.
I'm glad that you were able to join us on the podcast. I know that you've been asking for a while to come on and tell everybody about some of the things that you do to help us out. Should I tell them the secret, or do you want to tell them?
I do.
Okay, let everyone know what it is that you help out with and why it is that you love it so much.
I help out with the pictures and photography and the pictures that you post on Instagram, and sometimes I think they're on the website as well.
You are exactly right. Everyone out there listening, never underestimate the power of a young person. Sydney has been helping out with this photography for how long now?
2 years.
Yeah, so when you started, you were just about 8 years old, and it was hard for you to hold on to that heavy camera, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
But now you're stronger, you're 10 years old, and what grade are you in now, Sydney?
Fifth grade.
Wow, fifth grade, and she's already contributing to the business. That's something for us all to think about. Like I said earlier, we don't want to underestimate the potential that our young people have. Now, Sydney, what's some of your favorite parts of helping out with the photography?
I like to be the boss of the people who I'm taking pictures of.
Why do you like that?
Because I feel that I can control everything.
Yeah, and you know what? You do a really good job. And sometimes when we're out and about and we're taking pictures in public, other photographers, they see you, don't they?
Yes.
And what do they say?
They look at me, thinking that I'm a professional, becoming professional photographer.
Yeah, they do. They give you a lot of encouragement, and I appreciate that too. So I'm encouraging you to keep up with your photography as well, because you do a really nice job. Now, what are some of your goals for the future, Sydney?
I would like to take over Harrison Blake and to have my own business taking pictures of other people.
Yeah, you mean like being a professional photographer?
Yes.
Yeah, there's all kinds of pictures you could take, couldn't you?
Yes, as like family photos or friends and family photos.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to see you go on and do that, because you're off to a great start with the photography right now. So if anyone's listening and wants to see some of Sydney's work, you can simply go to our Instagram page, it's @wearlapelpins, or our Facebook page, which is Harrison Blake Apparel, and you can see some of her work. And I think the people will be quite surprised at the professional nature of the photos that you take. Don't you think that?
Yes, I do.
Now, one last question. What's the most fun part of being involved with Harrison Blake Apparel?
Like I said, being the boss, and I get to conduct the other people of what to do and stuff.
So you get to use your creativity and come up with some good ideas, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close out this segment?
I don't think so this time.
All right, but if we invite you back, would you like to come on again in the future?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Positive.
All right, sounds good. We'll have you back on, okay?
Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We are so glad that you joined us today. Please, if you would you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast? This will help us get this message out to those that want to hear about subjects like this, and also bring more awareness to people who are interested in living this life of a gentleman themselves. Also, don't forget, you can download your free copy of The Life of a Gentleman, the book, in audio or ebook format, simply by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, going to the blog, and downloading your copy. You know, at the beginning, we had such a great discussion, and hopefully you gained some insight into leaving a tip or gratuity. Also, we would like to thank our special guest that joined us on the line, Mr. John D. Carroll of Trace Coaching Services. He came through and gave us so much to think about. If you've ever thought about getting into entrepreneurship, or if you have a business yourself, there was some definite gems that you could take away from that interview. And lastly, we had a brief interview with someone special to me, my daughter, Sydney Taylor, and she talked about her goals of becoming a professional photographer and the fun that she has helping out with Harrison Blake Apparel. Before we go, I'd also like to send a very special thank you to Charles for joining us in studio once again. We had such a lively discussion, and I appreciate every time that we're able to get together and have these discussions. Next week, we invite you back for another edition, and hopefully in the near future, you are going to be hearing some new voices that we'll be adding into the mix, that will be adding some more insight, some more details, and some more instruction on how all of us can continue to live the life of a gentleman. And before we go, I have someone sitting next to me that would like to say something about today's show. Harrison Blake is here. If you didn't know, the company was named after my son, Harrison Blake, and he would like to say something about today's show.
Today I had a great day.
And what'd you think about the show?
It was good.
Thanks a lot, Harrison. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate all of you that are listening on Stitcher, on iTunes, and any other media outlet. So until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.